Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we've got a bit of a special mission. We want to give you, the parents and educators listening, a quick tour through The Juice. Okay, so let's get started. First up, an article titled, AI Models, Like Most Parents, Totally Confused by Gen Alpha Slang. This one definitely caught my eye.
It's really fascinating, isn't it? It looks at how fast language is changing, especially with Gen Alpha kids born, between 2010 and 2024, roughly. They're digital natives, and their communication just accelerates language change. New words pop up, become huge, and then poof, they're gone, or just confusing to older folks.
Yeah.
And even to sophisticated AI. Researchers, including a 14-year-old, Manisha Mehta, and Professor Fausto Gianciglia, found that top AI, like GPT-4 and Gemini, they really struggled with popular slang. Things like, let him cook, or you're chopped.
So the AI just doesn't get it. Even the really advanced ones.
Pretty much. And the really concerning part the article raises is what they call mass harassment. That's slang used for online bullying. Parents only spot about a third of these phrases, apparently. So when AI also misses it, that's a big safety gap.
Wow, okay. That's more than just misunderstanding a joke, then.
Exactly. It points to a real need for better AI safety systems to protect kids who might not ask for help if they think adults or even the tech just won't understand.
That makes sense. So for parents and teachers, what's a good discussion starter from this?
Well, you could definitely talk about how different generations communicate. Mm. You know, why does language seem to change so fast these days? And maybe explore the implications when technology, especially safety tech, can't keep up with how kids actually talk online. What does that mean for staying safe?
Good points. Okay, moving from digital communication to public health policy. The next article is France bans smoking at parks and beaches near schools.
Right. So France has brought in a new ban, effective July 1st, on smoking traditional cigarettes in more public outdoor spaces. We're talking parks, beaches, sports arenas, even near schools and bus stops.
Mm, expanding existing rules then, because they already had indoor bans.
Exactly. It takes the restrictions outdoors. And it's interesting because France, you know, has a relatively high rate of smoking compared to some other places in Europe. The stated aim is public health, obviously, but also to denormalize smoking, make it less visible, less socially acceptable.
Denormalize. So what's the pushback or support mentioned?
Well, advocates like the French League Against Cancer point to 75,000 deaths a year in France from tobacco. They really want to protect kids and vulnerable people from secondhand smoke. But yeah, some residents feel it's maybe too restrictive, stepping on individual freedoms. It's worth noting e-cigarettes aren't included in this specific ban.
It's that classic balance, isn't it? Individual choice versus public good. What kind of conversation could this spark with students?
Oh, definitely a good one for discussion, you could ask. Where should we draw the line between personal freedom and rules designed for public health? And maybe, how do cultural views about things like smoking shape the laws different places make? Gets them thinking about government roles and societal values.
Okay, from public spaces to the silver screen, let's look at entertainment. Horror movies creeping up on other genres at the box office.
Yeah, this one highlights a really interesting trend. Horror films are taking a much bigger slice of the box office pie. It jumped from about 4% of North American revenue back in 2015 to, get this, 17% this year.
17%. That's significant. Why the boom?
Experts think it might be a kind of catharsis, a way for audiences to deal with real-world anxieties, you know? Horror films often give you clear villains, straightforward conflicts, and importantly, endings. Closure.
An escape, but maybe a structured one.
Sort of. And producer Jason Blum adds another angle, the shared experience. Watching horror in a dark cinema, everyone jumping together. Apparently that communal scare is a big part of the appeal. You just don't get that watching alone at home.
Right, the shared gasp.
Exactly. And studios are noticing. They upped horror movie production by 21% last year.
Fascinating. So discussion points for students.
You could ask them straight up. Why do people like being scared by movies? What's the appeal? And maybe compare the experience watching a movie in a theater versus at home. What's different about that shared emotional ride, especially for something intense like horror?
Good questions. Now let's shift gears for a moment of reflection. We have the quote of the day, Isabel Allende.
Yes, a wonderful quote from the acclaimed Chilean author Isabel Allende. She says, "It is a wonderful truth that things we want most in life, a sense of purpose, happiness, and hope, are most easily attained by giving them to others."
Hmm. That's powerful. Tell us a bit about her.
Well, she was born in Peru back in 1942, and she's become one of the world's most celebrated Spanish language writers. She's known for magical realism, blending fantastical elements into real-world settings. It lets her explore really deep themes. Love, loss, politics, you name it.
Magical realism, right? Like The House of the Spirits?
Precisely. That was her big debut novel in 1982, launched her career globally. She's won major awards like Chile's National Literature Prize and even the U.S. Presidential Medal of Freedom. But that quote really captures a core idea in her work, I think, that finding our own fulfillment often comes through connecting with and helping others.
It's a beautiful thought. How could we discuss this with students?
You could explore the quote directly. What does it mean? Do they agree that happiness comes from giving? And maybe connect it to storytelling. How can stories, especially ones like hers that mix reality and fantasy, help us understand complicated things about life or history?
Makes sense. All right, moving from reflection back to current events, and unfortunately, a natural disaster. Texas terrain, massive rainfall, rendered flash flood alley storm fatal.
Yes, a very serious situation. This article covers the recent devastating flash floods in central Texas. Sadly, at least 82 people confirmed dead, dozens still missing. The article explains it's a combination of extreme weather hitting a region with very specific, challenging geography.
They call it Flash Flood Alley, right? Between Dallas and San Antonio.
That's the area. Apparently, it's considered the most flood-prone region in the entire U.S. Over 1,000 deaths just from floods there between 1959 and 2019.
Why is it so dangerous there specifically?
It's a mix of things. Hilly terrain speeds up water runoff. The river valleys are shallow, so they overflow easily. And crucially, the ground itself, often drought-hardened limestone, doesn't absorb water well at all.
So the water just runs off.
Exactly. And when you get these intense rain bombs, where dry air meets moist Gulf air, you get massive rainfall very quickly. Rivers can rise incredibly fast, like 20 feet in 90 minutes, the article says. Climate change is also mentioned as a factor, increasing overall rainfall in the region.
A tragic convergence. What can students take away from this in terms of discussion?
It really drives home how geography and climate create specific vulnerabilities you could discuss. How do a place's natural features make it prone to certain disasters? And more practically, what steps can communities and individuals take to prepare for extreme weather? Things like emergency plans, knowing evacuation routes, community support systems.
Important lessons.
Right.
Okay, let's end on a more positive, inspiring note. Our last article is Town Hale's 12-year-old hero, who rescued his family from fire.
This is a fantastic story. It's about Ramir Parker, a 12-year-old in Petersburg, Virginia. He's been honored as an honorary firefighter.
Wow, why? What did he do?
During a house fire on June 3rd, Ramir woke up to smoke and heat. But instead of just fleeing, he showed incredible bravery. He went back into the burning house to rescue his two baby brothers, carried them both out.
Both of them, at 12.
Yes. And then he went back in again to help his grandmother get out safely. Just amazing composure and courage.
Unbelievable. That's true heroism.
Absolutely. The fire chief, Wayne Hoover, said Ramir saved his family's lives. He even offered him a job with the department when he turns 18. The city officially recognized him for his remarkable heroism. A really uplifting story.
Truly. So for a final discussion point with kids.
This is perfect for talking about what heroism actually means. Is it always big, dramatic things? Or can everyday people show extraordinary bravery? And it's a chance to reinforce fire safety basics. What should you do in a fire? How can families make escape plans? It makes those safety lessons very real.
Great points. Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive into some of the articles in The Juice. We really hope this overview gives you some valuable insights and, maybe more importantly, sparks some meaningful conversations with your students.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.